This is a good time on the night before Veterans Day, an occasion that unfortunately does not mean as much as it should. This is a good time to ask ourselves, when does a fighting man become a veteran? Is it only after he's handed his discharge papers and his separation pay? Is it only then that a man becomes a veteran? Or does he become a veteran once he's seen action, once a gun is pointed his way and fired in anger? Is that when a man becomes a veteran? Or is it when he's reported missing in action? Here on the eve of Veterans Day is a report from NBC correspondent Andrew Pearson in South Vietnam, where we're fighting a war that has no name.
They were thinking a lot about going home for Christmas. The American Special Forces men had been out for 5 months, 4 more weeks to go, before being replaced by another team of 12 men to continue the supplying and training of the Vietnamese Army. Now, 3 of the Special Forces team are apparently prisoners of the Viet Cong. I spent a week with these men in their small camp south of the Mekong River in the flat, rice-growing country of South Vietnam. They were living in the middle of a communist-controlled area, working during the day along with other Vietnamese to train a local army to begin fighting the prevailing communist strength, and at night defending behind trip-flared and booby-trapped barbed wire the small square piece of real estate they were holding on to.
They were over here, right?
The people told him that we see, you know, got 2 ASIC and...
Yeah, okay. And they moved over to here.
Uh-huh. But he doesn't believe...
This is Lieutenant Rowe talking recently with a Vietnamese sergeant through an interpreter about the presence of regular communist soldiers a few miles away from their camp.
Back over behind the church, right?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, these are 2 brand new units. Now, there's none of this remnants of stuff that got hit over here the other night. They're not parts of the units that got here.
Cái này là tụi này khác, nó không phải hôm trước tụi bị bắn.
Brand new units.
Brand new.
And they had 281s and 286s. Now, the 86s we don't worry about, it's the 81s. What about First Company? I'm worried about First Company. Now, we can take a little bit of pounding, but what about First Company? Can we support them?
Có thể là trường hợp mình có thể tiếp viện lại được một được không?
As a matter of principle, they were too self-conscious to talk flippantly about democracy, but courageous enough and young enough to give themselves away. Lieutenant Rowe has a fiancé in the States who wrote him a letter recently saying that somehow their secret engagement had become known at home, and he exclaimed in mock annoyment at the time that now he was completely trapped. James Rowe didn't make it back to the small camp he was helping the Vietnamese defend, nor did Captain Humbert or Sergeant Pitzer. Sergeant Pitzer had a daily medical call in the village across the canal. He used to scold the women in a friendly way for not washing their children enough, which would have prevented a common skin disease. These 3 men were captured during a military operation described by an American officer in Saigon after visiting Tan Phu.
This company, of course, this third company is very badly mauled. It sustains upwards of 30 wounded. Last night, we carried from that unit some 30 unaccounted for. The 2 officers were wounded very early in the engagement.
Two American officers.
One captain, one lieutenant. And the situation of the medical NCO, who belongs to the normal prototype Special Forces Detachment, unknown. We have to carry those 3 fellas right there as missing in action. One of them was a cadet of mine. At 1800 hours last night, this is a major canal.
There's an intense search on for the 3 lost Americans, planes, helicopters, and foot troops. But the Viet Cong are in their home territory, and the chances of the Americans being found are small. 3 more American soldiers in South Vietnam missing in action. Andrew Pearson, NBC News, Saigon.
Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Until 9 years ago, until 1954, we called it Armistice Day, to herald the day in 1918 when the guns of the First World War were stilled, a day that brought an end to the shooting, the return of the world to peace. But we changed the name, changed it to Veterans Day, to honor all veterans of all wars, including those that came after, even the little wars that have no names. We changed the name because the name Armistice Day belonged to the men of the Argonne, to the men of Chateau Thierry, to the men of the Marne, to the men of the First World War, the war they said that was fought to end all wars, perhaps more properly, the war during which we came of age. And tonight, the eve of Veterans Day, tonight American fighting men are scattered to virtually all the corners of the earth. We have no war as such. We are engaged in no war, not at least by name. But still there is shooting, and still men in uniform die in the line of duty. They die, ironically, in struggles to keep the peace. In this year of 1963 alone, since January the 1st, 2,680 servicemen are dead, died in the line of duty, the Pentagon reports say. Many of them, the ones we hear the most about, were killed in action in South Vietnam, in the gateway to and from Red China. But there were those, too, who died in Germany, in Korea, in Thailand, in Japan, in Iceland, in Libya, in Turkey, in the Philippines, in Greenland, and in the close-to-home Caribbean. There are those among us who measure the price of freedom, the cost of the Cold War, in dollars. But there are others who measure the price in more human terms, more meaningful, more lasting terms. And it is they who will stand bareheaded at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Veterans Day, and observe 2 minutes of silence for the men who have died in the service of their country, in all the wars, even those that have no names. This is Frank McGee for Monitor.